of weeks ago, we started this new series called Real Relationships That Really Work. And 2 weeks ago, we learned that there's nothing more important to God than relationships. That really, when it comes down to it, this whole Christian thing, when you peel away the stained glass windows and denominations and rituals and religion, that it's all about relationships. That Jesus, when he was asked, what's the most important commandment in the Bible? Jesus said this: love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and all of your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. So we learn that when Jesus was asked what's the greatest commandment, he didn't just give one answer, he gave two. Love God and love people. Love God and love people. That's what it's all about. Now last week we talked about some practical things that we need to do to maintain relationships. Like if things start to go south in a relationship, if there's hurt, if there's a misunderstanding, what does the Word of God have to tell us about how to deal with that? This morning, we're going to talk about something that will help us not get to that point where we need to have restoration. In other words, last week we talked about the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff. This week we're going to talk about how do I keep from stepping over the cliff to begin with. Amen? I mean, thank God for the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff. I thank God that God, you know, he picks us up, he dusts us off, he brings healing, he's gracious. I thank God for being so gracious to me in my life. I thank God for the people in my life over the years that have been so gracious and merciful to me. I thank God today for a forgiving wife. Anybody else here? Amen. Thank God. I thank God for a forgiving wife. I thank God for the people in my life who've been restorative. So I thank God for the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff. But at the same time, I want to do whatever I can with God's help to stop making the same mistakes over and over again. Amen. To stop stepping over the edge of the cliff. So this morning, we're going to talk about that. How do I keep from continuing to step into these traps? So our title this morning is My Big Fat Mouth. Because how many of you know that tends to be the thing that gets us into the most trouble, right? Yeah. So we're going to talk about the power of our words and the importance of our words. And there's so many directions that we could go when it comes to our words. We could talk about lying, we can talk about criticism, we could talk about profanity, we could talk about negativity, we could talk about malice, the hurtful things that we say. So we got to narrow it down somewhere, so we're going to zero in on this one topic. The Bible has so much to say about it. As we talk about my big fat mouth, we're going to talk about gossip. Gossip. How many of you know someone who gossips? Don't raise your hand. You know somebody who gossips, right? How many of you have heard someone gossiping ever? Yeah, all of us, right? Because it's so prevalent. And why is it so prevalent? Why is gossip so popular? Here's why. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 8, rumors are dainty morsels that sink deep into one's heart. Rumors are like dainty morsels that sink deep into... In other words, they're tasty. They're enticing. They're addictive. But at the same time, they're so subtle. Like you start off, you feel like I'm not really doing anything wrong here. Right? They're like dainty morsels, kind of like these things right here. Anybody know what these are? Have you ever seen these before? M&Ms, but these aren't just any M&Ms. These are peanut butter M&Ms. Can you believe that? Peanut butter and M&M all in once. These things, my friends, are dainty morsels, right? And they are just so, in fact... I just got to have one right now. I can't wait. There we go. Tastes so good. Anybody else here like these? Anybody? You guys don't like these? I'll see you guys next Sunday. I think we're about done here. Do you guys like these?
I've never tried them.
Never tried them? Are you allergic to peanuts?
No.
Go ahead. Pretty good. Yeah. Now, here's where my analogy breaks down a little bit. How many of you know you can just, like, you start eating a couple of these? And before you know it, you're looking at an empty bag, right? And then you lie to yourself and you say, well, there weren't that many in that bag, really. Now, the thing with gossip, like, unlike these, I don't really want to share these. I mean, it says share bag on them, but I don't want to share. The thing about gossip is we want to share it. I mean, it tastes sweet when we hear it, but it also tastes sweet when we share it, right? And so the reason it's tempting is because it's tempting. Yeah. And so the Bible says rumors, they're like dainty morsels that sink deep into one's heart. By the way, I shouldn't take these home at all, so you can just, nope, nobody else. What? First service, I'm not kidding. I gave them away like that first service. You want them for sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I could just tell she's in, I'm trying to give them away, and she's like, you know, get over here. Gossip is so subtle, and yet our culture loves it. Our culture, in fact, when you go up to the checkout stand at the grocery store to buy your peanut M&Ms, what do you see? Tabloids, right? Gossip, just full of gossip. People just eat it up. And then we have all these talk shows, television talk shows, radio talk shows. We have TMZ, right? And then you add to that all the social media, Facebook, Twitter. And with the social media, people don't care who it hurts. They don't care if it's true or not. They just copy it, paste it, forward it, send it, like it. You know, people don't even care who it hurts. Our culture is so full of gossip. It's a part of who we have become as a nation. And unfortunately, for us as Christ followers, it's so easy to fall into that trap that everyone else has fallen into. And it seems so childish, but it's really not childish, is it? Because it hurts. How many of you can definitely think of a time in your life where someone's gossip hurt you, right? Or embarrassed you in some way, or even you've lost a friendship over gossip? So as Christians, right, we know this is off limits, we shouldn't be doing this. So what we do sometimes is we disguise it, and we disguise it a couple of ways. Here's one way we disguise it. We want to let people know so they can be praying. So we disguise our gossip sometimes as prayer requests. Listen, can I tell you something? God doesn't need you to have all the details in order for you to pray for somebody. Is that right? God knows the details very well. He knows them better than you. God is never saying, oh my, I didn't know that. I'm so glad you found that out and shared that with me. Yeah. Or a second thing that we do to kind of disguise gossip is we fool ourselves with this. It's okay to talk about if it's true, right? I mean, it's true. Must be okay to talk about. Listen to this little adage and take this to heart and do your best to live by this. Everything that is said should be true, but not everything that is true should be said. So true. Yeah. So we try to disguise gossip. But in the end, Proverbs 18 and verse 27 says this. It says, the tongue has the power of life and death. The tongue has the power of life and death. So what do you want to be known as? Do you want to be a person who's speaking death and destruction and hurt? Or do you want to be known as a person who is speaking life, who's speaking encouragement, who's building people up? How do you want to be known as a Christian? So who does gossip hurt anyway? What's the big deal? Well, it hurts a lot of people. First of all, it hurts the person who's being spoken about. It's the most obvious one. It hurts the person who's being spoken about. Proverbs 16 and verse 28 says this, a troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip separates the best of friends. Listen to the wording there. It plants seeds of strife. So many of our words, it's just like planting a seed. It's just scattering a seed. And it maybe starts off just small. You try to tell yourself, well, I've only told two people. But then they tell two people. So now it's four. And each one of those four people, they tell two people, right? And everybody's thinking, I've only told two people. But because of the power of exponential growth, now everybody knows, right? It's like planting seed. It's like scattering seed. Gossip hurts the person spoken about. And it's an absolute relationship destroyer. It separates the best of friends. By the way, should you ever find yourself this morning the victim of other people's gossip, bitterness, smallness, insecurities, just remember it could be worse. You could be them. So gossip hurts the person being spoken about. Secondly, gossip hurts the listener. It hurts the listener. Wrongdoers, Proverbs 17:4 says, wrongdoers eagerly listen to gossips. Liars pay close attention to slander. So it's not just the person gossiping, but it's actually the person who's doing the listening. Sharing gossip is wrong, but so is listening to it. We can't pretend like we're just innocent bystanders. We're a part of the problem if we're listening to gossip, because what you permit, you promote. And remember this, if they'll gossip to you, they'll also gossip about you, right? I mean, you feel like, oh, I'm on the inside here, I'm getting some, you know, special information. If they'll gossip to you in the right circumstances, the right day, they'll also gossip about you, because a gossip is a gossip. Gossip hurts the listener. And then thirdly, gossip hurts the speaker. Hurts the actual person doing the gossiping, whether they realize it or not, they're actually hurting themselves. Proverbs 25 and verse 9 says, when arguing with your neighbor, don't betray another person's secret. Others may accuse you of gossip, and you will never regain your good reputation. Oh, wow. Nobody wants to be known as a gossiper, right? But once you start that, once someone sees you in it, they're always going to think of you as a person who gossips. So you destroy your own reputation when you participate in gossiping. Talking badly about another person says actually more about you than it says about them. And you would much rather be known as a person who's an encourager and a builder and a life giver. You would rather be known as a person who can be trusted. Trusted. So, how do we control gossip? All right, it's so enticing. It's so prevalent in our society. How do we put an end to it in our lives and in the lives of other people? How do we control gossip? Let me give you two things. First of all, guard your ears. Guard your ears. Have you ever just found like you've been in a conversation with someone and all of a sudden they're telling this story and you're feeling funny about it? You're like, man, I really don't think this person should be telling me this, but they are. And so you're just kind of, you see yourself as kind of an innocent bystander, but you feel like you just got slimed. Anybody here? Right? And you're just like, oh, I wish I, I wish I could unhear what I just heard, right? I didn't want to know that. And yet you're just like, now you've listened and now you're a part of the whole story. So how do we control that? And we start by guarding our ears. And let me give you a couple of things you can say to that person who's starting to tell you a story about something else, someone else. They're starting to gossip to you. Let me give you just a couple of ways out. First of all, you can ask the question, why are you telling me this? Why are you telling me this? Now, some of you in this room, you're like, wow, that's too confrontational. Okay, I get it. That's pretty straightforward. So let me give you another one. Here's another question you can ask is have you spoken to Bill about this, right? Have you spoken to Mary about this? It's a great way to just kind of redirect that conversation. When someone's offended us, church, the Bible makes it very clear. Jesus made it very clear what we're supposed to do. And we're not supposed to go start talking to other people about it. We're not even supposed to go to our pastor about it. Here's what we're supposed to do. Matthew 18 and verse 15. Jesus said, if another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. Everybody say privately. It's the key word. Go privately and point out the offense. If the person listens and confesses it, you will have won that person back. So before you start getting advice from other people, before you start talking about what happened, Jesus says the first thing you do is you go directly, privately to that person. You keep it just between the two of you. And I have just found, just in my 35 years of pastoring now, that 95% of problems get solved right there. Isn't that amazing? If we just do things the way Jesus told us to do them, it actually works, right? So we go privately to the person. We don't start making that circle any bigger. Ultimately, if you've got a friend that just continues to gossip and continues to gossip and won't quit, it might get to the point where you have to separate yourself from that person. You know, some people, I mean, we love them, but they're just so toxic that they continue to drag everybody down around them. So it might get to the point where you have to decide, I just need to get some new friends because these friends are dragging me down. Proverbs 20 and verse 19 says this, a gossip goes around telling secrets, so don't hang around with chatterers. Whew. Don't hang around with chatterers. It's a way to end the cycle of gossip. So guard your ears. The second thing you need to do when it comes to stopping gossip, of course, is close your mouth. Guard your ears and close your mouth. Proverbs 21 and verse 23 says, watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. Don't you just love how straightforward the Bible is sometimes? Watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut. Love the bluntness there. So, let's read this out loud together. All right? Ready? 1, 2, 3. Watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. Proverbs 21, 23. One more time just to make sure we got it. Watch your tongue and shut your mouth. I said it wrong, but you get the idea. Jesus said this, and this is just applies here, but it's a general rule that will keep us out of a lot of trouble in life. Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do to you. Or as one person said about social media, tweet others as you would like to be tweeted. You know, we have to ask ourselves, too, if we're involved in gossip, we have to ask ourselves, what's at the heart of this? Why is this a tasty morsel for me? Why is this so enticing? How do I allow myself to get involved in doing this? Because when you think about it, as a follower of Jesus, gossip is just the opposite of Jesus. We have an unhealthy desire to be better than someone else or look better than someone else. So it makes us look like more. Our sinful nature wants to bring them down so that we look better. When you think about it, gossip is just the opposite of the gospel. Sound alike, but they're two totally different things. Gossip is bad news. The gospel is good news. Gossip is a destroyer. It brings people down. The gospel is life-giving. It brings people up. Gossip says, I'm strong because they look weak. The gospel says, I know I'm weak, but Christ is strong in me. Know who you are, church. Know who you are in Christ. Know that your self-worth is not based on someone else looking bad. Know who you are. Know that the Bible says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Know that you are God's workmanship, created for good works in Christ Jesus. Know who you are in Christ, that you were created by God for a purpose, that your life has meaning, and that meaning is found in the Lord. It's not found in comparisons. Know who you are in Christ. Speak life. Speak life. Speak the gospel, not gossip. Stop hanging around with people who are tearing down others. Because ultimately, church, when we're gossiping, we are being used as the devil's mouthpiece. The devil is a destroyer, and he will use any one of us that he can to hurt and maim and destroy. But Jesus is a life giver, and he wants us to speak words that point people to him. Amen? That point people to life. What if, instead of getting caught gossiping, you got caught encouraging? Right? What if you got caught, instead of getting caught talking behind someone's back, you got caught speaking well of people behind their back? Here's the Bible standard. We're going to close with it. Here's the Bible standard when it comes to our words. And what we're going to do this morning, just in your mind, I'd like you to, this whole idea of gossip, I want you to take this idea of gossip and just run it through this filter, okay? Because here's what the Word of God has to say about what our words need to be. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 29, okay? Here's what we're to live up to as Christ followers. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Well, so far, gossip isn't making it through the filter. But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Listen, church, our gossip actually grieves the Holy Spirit. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Now, how many of you can see today that gossip doesn't make it through that filter? Isn't that right? This is the standard that God calls us to in terms of our words. This is what God wants for us. He wants us to speak life and encouragement. He wants us to be forgiving and gracious. Even when we've been hurt, someone's offended us. And by the way, someone gossiping about you is not an excuse for you to gossip about them. Doesn't work that way. It works that way in the world. It doesn't work that way with Jesus. How many of you know that God demands of us more grace? We're to give people more grace than they've given us, just as God has given us more grace than we deserve. I don't know about you, but when I stand before the Lord someday, when I'm in His heaven someday, I'm very much going to be aware of the fact that I don't really deserve to be there. Right? that I don't deserve it because I haven't been good enough. I'm going to understand that the only reason I'm there is because Jesus laid down his life for me, that he died on a cross, that he shed his blood so I could stand before God forgiven and free. Amen? And so I've got no business, as someone who knows all that Jesus has done for me, I've got no business tearing anybody else down behind their back. No business at all. There should be no room for it in our lives. Gossip is a destroyer. And by the way, gossip is a destroyer of churches. Some of us in this room, we've been unfortunately a part of a church that's been completely blown up by the enemy because of gossip. Let us not allow that to happen at Bethel Church. Not on our watch. Amen? We will say to the Lord, God, we want your love and grace to permeate this place, and we will not give the enemy a foothold by participating in gossip. Now, listen, church. Everything I just gave us there, Ephesians chapter 4, God's standard for us. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Only what is helpful for building others up, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one. All of these things, that's a tall order, isn't it? It's a tall order. How many of you this morning, along with me, would say, God, I'm willing to shoot for this, but I'm going to need your help. Right? I'm going to need your help. The good news is God has very high standards for us. The good news is God always helps us. We never have to try to live up to God's standards without God's help. It's impossible. So God gives us two things to help us with our words. One thing he gives us is he gives us his word, the Bible. You know, the Bible's like brain soap. We read it, and it just has a way of cleaning out the junk, right? All the junk from this world. The Bible, God's word, has a way of just cleaning that out. The Bible says, don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so the word of God, reading the word of God every day, it transforms our thinking. Because the things that come out of your mouth, you know where they start? They start right here and they start right here. So if we want to work on what comes out of our mouth, we got to start here. We got to start by saying, God, I need you to do something in my heart. So we have the word of God, and secondly, we have the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to live up to what God's word commands from us. Because you'll never live up to God's standards in your own strength. I won't either. We need the Holy Spirit. So we need the word of God, and we need the Holy Spirit if we want to live up to God's standards when it comes to what comes out of our mouth. So how many of you today just would say along with me, God, I need your help. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. God, I need your help. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes for a moment? Just close yourself in with God, and let's just make it personal now. Make it personal now. Don't be thinking to yourself, man, I'm glad so-and-so heard this message today. right now, God, what do you want to say to me? What do you want to say to me? Now, I know all of us struggle with the things we say, but I want to ask this morning specifically, if you were to be honest, is God zeroing in your own heart about this area of gossip? And how many of you just would be humble enough to say today, wow, this is an area that God has really spoken to me about today. It's an area in my life I need to repent of. It's an area of my life with God's help that needs to change. If that's you today, I want to pray with you. Would you just raise your hand up, just being honest. Say, I want it. Yeah, Pastor Tim, I just need God's help in this area of my life. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Now let me ask a second question, because it all starts with Jesus. It all starts with Jesus. It starts with him being in control, with him leading our lives. And are you here today and you just say, I don't know if I'm there. I don't know if I've really like surrendered to Christ and let him take control of everything in my life. And today you want to pray and say, Jesus, I don't want to just know about you. I want to know you. I want you to be in my life. I want you to be leading my life, because the way I'm leading my own life right now isn't working. If that's you today and you just say, Tim, today I'd like to pray to receive Christ in my life. And this means, guys, this means doing a 180. It means I'm not going to do life with God's help. I'm not going to do life the way I've been doing it. I'm going to do a 180 with God's help. And if that's you today and you'd like to pray to receive Christ in your life, I'm going to lead you in a prayer right where you're seated. And so if you want to be included in this prayer, would you raise your hand up this morning? Just hold it right up so I can see it. Yeah, right there, back there in the back, right there. Awesome, awesome. Others today, look over on this side. Anybody else? This is your moment, life-changing moment. You guys can put your hands down and let me just lead you in prayer. Would you pray, just following me in prayer? In church, would you pray with those who have raised their hand today? Father God, I give my life to you today. All that I am, holding nothing back. God, I ask for your forgiveness. Thank you for being gracious to me. Thank you for loving me. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for me. And I believe you have risen from the dead. Lord, come into my life. I give my life to you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, Father, I pray for those who just prayed that prayer. I pray, God, that this is going to be a beautiful start of a relationship with you. Some of them that prayed that prayer with me, maybe they've known about you, maybe they've even walked with you, but at this point in their life, they just admitted, I'm not where I want to be with the Lord. God, I pray that you will bless their life, that you will fill them with your Holy Spirit, that you will establish them and strengthen you. God, for those that raised their hand, just being honest and saying, I need help in this area of gossip. Lord, I first of all thank you for that step of humility to raise their hand up and say, yeah, that's me. I've been blowing it. God, I thank you for that humility. But God, I thank you, Lord, that when we're humble before you like that, God, you don't condemn, but you bring grace. You bring life. And so I pray, God, for every person who's just asking for help in this area of gossip, God, that you will help them. Help them with their words. Help them with their ears. God, I pray that you will saturate their thought life with the good things of God instead of the things that tear down and destroy. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for his word today. Amen. You know, God's word, it's so good. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it hurts. But it's so healing and life-giving, isn't it? So thank God for his word today. Pastor Ben has a couple things to let us know about.